I've already forgot.
Good morning, everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. We're having a ball up here in the corner. You know, we can't remember anything just from one pew to the next pew. But we're so glad to have visitors with us this morning. They come all the way down from Alaska. Yeah, these guys right here. And this is Brother John Herdman's sister and her husband. And so he was up there and preached for them here a while back, if y'all will remember. But we're so glad to have them with us. And they're excited. They've got a brand new nephew here, and they've not met him yet and whatever. It's good to have you, okay? Also, it's good to have others. I'm seeing people in here that's not usually in here. So, Jeff, Becky, it's good to see y'all. And we got, Jim and Tony back. So they came back to be with us today. And so y'all know I'm the world's worst on names. So I'm going to go ahead and say one that Carol reminded me of this morning. We're looking forward to Jocelyn Terrell, okay? She's going to be here with us this coming Saturday and going to hold a special meeting. So you ladies, sign up for that if you've not done that. And I believe you'll really enjoy her. She's a precious lady, and she's been through a lot of problems. Also like to say praise the Lord for Leslie Farmer, and talked to her out there this morning, and she's just bubbling over with joy. Says she's tired, but she's just bubbling over. And I told Larry, I said, you know, Larry, that lady always shows God on her face. She's smiling, she's happy, she's a wonderful blessing to you. So praying for Larry and Linda during this time also. And we just pray that this treatment that Leslie had works. We just pray that it does the job, okay? And to say happy anniversary to Leroy today. Okay. Well, anyway. Well, I was going to say, I don't know how you got 3 out of 9, but I wasn't going to mess with that. Okay. Okay, good. That's good. All right, it's good to see everybody here. It really is, and we thank the Lord for you. I'll go ahead and just run over a few things, and then we'll let Brother Philip come and teach. Okay, Daniel is preaching this morning in Brother Herdman's absence, and then we're going to have Edgar Fagali tonight. That'll be preaching, so we look forward to that. Then on April the 7th through the April the 19th, Brother Joe Arthur Revival. Now, how many of you have heard Joe Arthur? Okay, so you know you're in for a treat, okay? He's always a joy to have around. So we look forward to that each night at 7 o'clock. And the Epley family singers are going to be here each night also, so look forward to that. Saturday on April the 12th is at 5 p.m. with the ladies is Miss Troll. And so I know y'all will enjoy that. And then next week on the 13th, we're looking for 500 in Sunday school. That's a goal, and just invite your friends, family, and whatever, and we'd look to have them in Sunday school next week. Please ask you to pray for Pastor and Amy as they return from California. They'll be back here tomorrow, so y'all pray for them for safe travel. And so we're still praying for Debbie Deacons and Bob and Sheila Daniels, and praying for their battle in their sickness, and also praying for Roger Cox. And I see Brother Anthony back there. We're still praying for Laura too, Anthony. And is there anyone else here that has a prayer request on their heart, just uplifted hand. Okay. Okay, Brother Joel Johnson, that's Ethel's husband, and so he has come home with hospice. They are not doing any more dialysis on him, so y'all pray for that family, okay? Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your blessings to us, and God, we do thank you for the precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for our sins, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us, God, and watching over us day by day. And we thank you for each person that's here today. Pray, dear God, that they will be blessed, Lord, that this will be a day that they will hear something that will encourage them, and Lord, help them along the way. And God, I pray for Brother Philip. Pray you'll give him unction from heaven. Pray for Daniel as he preaches here at 11 o'clock, and then for Brother Fagali tonight. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the blessings that you have given to us, and we give all of this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You in James chapter 1 already? We'll read the text again. My brethren, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Last week, we saw the opposite of this with our great hero of the faith, David, failing miserably. Lies, fear, vainglory. You remember it? 1 Samuel chapter 19, 20, and 22. And then more fear, going to the world for help. You remember, he ran to the very king of his enemies. Personal humiliation, slavering with the spit running down his beard as he clawed on the door. All because he did not let patience have her perfect work. We ended our study last week with David in a dank, dark cave. You remember? That's where he ended up. And you and I can end up the same way if we do not let patience have her perfect work. Our parallel passage is in 1 Peter chapter 5. Submit and humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So these two are companions. Let patience have her perfect work. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Troubles can be so difficult, can't they? Divers temptations, like 1 Peter says, manifold temptations, and they can make us feel sometimes abandoned and helpless. David said in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Now, we know this is a messianic psalm, and it is one that was spoken by our Savior on the cross, but it also is David going through difficulties, feeling like he's been forsaken. In Psalm 142, verse 4, it says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. We can feel like that. God can make our trials exactly like that. Sometimes we can just be confused. Do you remember Rebecca? In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21 and 22, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Have you ever felt like that in trouble? Pregnancy is difficult enough, is it not? A baby starts moving around in there. But if you've got two in there fighting with each other, that would be a great trial. And she didn't know what in the world is going on. Do you know that's a wonderful illustration of us as Christians? We have two natures in us struggling all the time. Amen. Why am I thus? Because of this old man and new man struggling continuously in our inner man. But anyway, we can be like that, can't we? Why am I thus? Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed. David was like this as well. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Troubles come sometimes. 2 Samuel 22:5, by the way. Sometimes it just seems like it's overwhelming, does it not? The floods overwhelmed my soul. And sometimes we can feel very harassed and wearied. David is a guide to us here as well. He says in Psalm 55, verse 6, I said, I said, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Have you ever felt like that in your troubles? If you could just get away from it all. Patty and I went through something in Colorado that was so long-lasting and so difficult that literally we tried to move away. We did. It was terrible. And it was like, Lord, please just let us move and get away. He would not. He would not. We had to stay there and do what? Let patience have her perfect work, that she would be perfect and entire one. It was so painful. It was so harassing. And anyway, you've been there, haven't you? You have. And you just like to get away. Sometimes Jeremiah knew this, by the way. Jeremiah 9, verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was so harassed by God's people, and he just wanted to get away. If I could just find a in somewhere in the wilderness that I could go and be away from all this trouble. When troubles come, we can feel all of these things because sometimes they come and they stay, don't they? They come and they come and they come. They're manifold and they are very harassing. So something has to happen in the middle of all these troubles if we're going to let patience have her perfect work. Now, there's another verse, another parallel verse that's going to help us. Two, as a matter of fact. One of them is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 through 5. You're familiar with it. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Not immediately. We've already seen that. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. By the way, isn't that exactly the terminology in James chapter 1 that we just read? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. So here we have a little help in how we let patience have her perfect work. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also in the end, in time. I want to give an illustration of that later, probably next week. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, let me say just one thing about experience. As we go through tribulations, we come to that place in Psalms where David said, and you know the verse, you might have quoted it to yourself in trouble or after you've been through trouble, He said this in Psalm 119:71, "It is good that I have been afflicted." Why? Can anybody finish the verse? "That I might know thy law." Now, folks, trouble, affliction, difficulty is the only way you're going to understand some scriptures. You know why? Because you're going to go to them for comfort and for help and for understanding. You're going to get into that book, and it's going to mean something to you then, because you need it, right? And you'll understand what David's talking about when he said, "I wish I had wings like a dove that I could fly into the wilderness and get away." Yes, I understand that. I've read it. I read it for 50 years nearly. I didn't understand it until I got afflicted so much and so harassed that all I wanted to do was leave. And then when I read that verse the next time through, after all that, I thought, I know exactly what David was going through. That verse means something to me. So, we gain experience is what we're talking about, correct? We begin to understand God's ways, God's methods, God's word. It becomes something to us other than, "I've read my Bible, my three chapters today." No, no, you're doing more than that if you're in affliction, amen? You're not just getting your three chapters in. Brother, you're going looking for help. Because you need it. And now you're gaining experience. And guess what experience does? And experience hope. You begin to have something that others don't have. Because you have, God has tested you and you have tested God in all of these things. You have proven Him to be faithful. Correct? And now you have hope. And then guess what happens next, according to that verse? "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, isn't that very wonderful? Now, wouldn't you think, oh, okay, it's all done. We're in the middle of these trials. I'm gaining experience. I'm gaining hope. And the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And it sounds like that's the end of it all. It's not the end of it all. Not by a long shot. Look with me, if you would, in 1 John chapter 4. You wouldn't think that this would be the place we would go to gain insight into conflict. But if you'll notice here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world." Now, verse 18 is a very important passage for us. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love." Now, did you see that last phrase? Because this verse is again talking about what we saw in James chapter 1 and what we saw in Romans chapter 5, what we saw in 1 Peter chapter 5, the being made perfect. Again, this is God's way of improving us, the making of us perfect. But did you see what was going on in this verse? This is not just a great definition of love. What you are seeing in this verse is the terrible struggle between love and fear. Perfect love, our love that is shed abroad in our heart, has a great struggle to maintain because fear keeps coming back and plaguing us in trouble. Now, I'm going to make an allusion to a book I read that was given to me by a woman in this class. I made allusion to it, you remember, when we were studying Revelation chapter 3. But I want to talk about it one more time. It was written dually by a man and his wife. The man's portion of the book talked about how he was pretty much overcome. He lost his faith. He was terribly afraid. He was in tears. It went on for a year. He literally, no matter what you might call it, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The man was devoured. His faith was overwhelmed. He was totally overcome by fear and doubt. He thought God was trying to kill him. But his wife did not go that way. Most of the book was about her experience through this long year of incredible trial, because she was watching her husband become somebody she did not even recognize. It was fearful. And it said it in the book. She was afraid for her children and what this was going to do to them. She was afraid for her finances. He had lost his job. She was afraid for their testimony. She was afraid for what was going to happen to her husband. And her testimony through all of that was this struggle between her love for God and the fear that would keep bouncing back into her soul. And what she had to do for that year was keep casting out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Her testimony was one of the most amazing testimonies I have ever read. And it talked about how she would put verses on walls, verses on her mirror, verses, and she would go out and read verses. And guess what? She'd have to read them again. And it would give her courage, and she would lean on those verses. And she said, and she would get victory for the moment. Then the fear would come again. What's going to happen? The devil's very present in our problems, is he not? Absolutely. But she kept casting out fear. Because why? Because she loved her Savior. And it brought her through a whole year of incredible suffering. Perfect love casteth out fear. Now, there's another verse that goes with this, found in another portion of Scripture that you wouldn't think would be at all related, but it is. Look with me in Galatians, of all places, chapter 5 and verse 6. Are you there? Paul makes an amazing statement here. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But what does he say at the end of that verse? Now, we have a tendency to think, okay, we're not going to trust in circumcision. We're not going to trust in all the law. But he makes it a very important statement immediately after that, because he says this: but what does avail? Faith which worketh by love. That's what we see in 1 John chapter 4. Perfect love, casting out fear, trusting in God. I will not let this overcome me. I will hold on to these verses. I will uphold my soul in the Word of God. What is that? Faith which worketh by love. Do you know it's not just your mental ability to take all these verses in the Bible and say, I believe God can do this. And you say, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe God, and he's going to do it. And then he doesn't do it. And people are just overwhelmed because he didn't do it. I think what they were doing by their faith was putting God's arm behind him, and they were saying, you got to do this because I believe it. Folks, God doesn't have to do anything because you believe it. Faith is to work by love. You and I aren't here to demand of God anything. And that's not what God wants. In all of our trials, what is He trying to develop in us? In those trials, while they're going on, we love Him. What do you get when you combine faith and love? Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust. That's not faith alone, folks. Do you remember that old, I heard it 40 or 50 years ago. It was an illustration. And high wire guy, tightrope walker. I think his name was Bondini. You might have heard this. I'm going to say it anyway. And he threw his line across the chasm of Niagara Falls. Of course, it was a public event, so there was crowds on either side. And he walked across, and he walked back. That was amazing enough. But he got on a bicycle and did it on a bicycle and went over and back. And the crowd, of course, was amazed, and as I would have been. And he turned around to the crowd, and he said, "Do you believe I can drive this bike over that wire again?" And they all said, "Of course, we just saw you do it." And he turned to one of the men, and he said, "Get on." Do you know the difference between believing and that? That's trust. Amen? You have to let patience have her perfect work. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In the middle of your trials, you have got to come to the point where you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him because I love him. Trust. What an important word, amen? You know, we love this verse. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Don't you just love that? "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Ah, that gives us great confidence, does it not? We go to the next verse. It says, "And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Doesn't that cause us to love God wonderfully? We love those hands, do we not? Underneath are the everlasting arms, and in those arms are those hands that hold us. That's exactly what it ought to do. But did you notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty" what? Do you love it now? When that hand is pressing you down and all your troubles seem to be overwhelming you, the floods of ungodly men, God's hand is pressing and pressing and pressing, and He will not let you up. Do you love that hand? That's what He wants. Amen? That is exactly what He wants. And that love is severely tried, is it not? Absolutely. Gosh, the fear comes back, the dread comes back, the harassment comes back. I've been there. It's like, I just want to leave this place. This is never going to end. And we had to learn to let God have His way in our life. We had to learn to love that hand as well and submit to it. And we had to learn to trust Him. Faith which worketh by love. Many people don't get their prayers answered, and they can quote all the verses because in it all they have gotten bitter with God. So do you think that God, if you're bitter with Him, even though you're holding on to all those promises, is going to answer? Do you think He's pleased with what's going on in your soul? And if He gives you that victory, you're going to be benefited by it? No. What He's waiting for is faith which worketh by love. Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Whatever, Lord. And by the way, this isn't resignation, amen? That's the devil's counterfeit. You know what resignation is, don't you? Whatever. I'll just let God do whatever he's going to do. I can't do anything about it anyway. You ever been there? Oh, what a temptation it is. That's the devil's counterfeit, right? That's what Samuel. That's what Eli did. Do you remember Eli? He was a wicked man. And God came to him through Samuel, this little boy. He said, tell me what God told you over in your dream. And Samuel, I would imagine he was very afraid, that young boy. And he told him what God had said to him about Eli and his boys and his family. He said, I'm going to judge you. What did Eli say? It is the Lord. Let him do with it. Let him do whatever he will. What kind of response is that? That's just giving up. That's no faith whatsoever. Now, folks, we can't be like that. We don't want to just give up. If we do that, you know what we do? We stop praying. We just say, you know, God's going to do whatever he's going to do anyway. I can't do anything about that. I'm just helpless. Now, that's not the voice of faith, is it not? Nor of love. Well, faith which worketh by love. My time is all up. Next week, we are going to actually talk about the first two or three words in this passage. Count it all joy. Now, after we've gotten through all of these other things, when we should do it, the troubles that we're in, letting God do his work, if we can master all of these concepts, we're about ready to count it all joy. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these wonderful people and their attention today. I pray that you'll bless them. Difficulties might be all past, and they're on this side of difficulties, and they can count it all joy because they can look back on how good you were. Maybe they're in the very middle of it. I pray, dear God, that you will help their love to cast out, their love for you to cast out all their fear. Lord, I pray that you'll help every one of us, that we would not fail you in the time of trial. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.